Welcome to Cancer Clearly, a podcast about the cancer experience told from every angle.
Hello, this is Kristen Siahian from the Cancer Clearly podcast, and I'm so excited to welcome my guest today. I am joined by Kem Tolliver. Kem is the president and CEO of Medical Revenue Cycle Specialists. She is the author of Revenue Cycle Management, Don't Get Lost in the Financial Maze, as well as Advanced Strategy for Medical Practice Leaders. She happens to also be a co-host of her own podcast called RevDive, and her healthcare certifications include a fellow of the American College of Medical Practice Executives, as well as a certified medical coder. And she also happens to carry the CMOM credentialing, which is a certified medical practice, a certified medical office manager. Welcome to Cancer Clearly, Pat Kem.
Thanks so much for having me, Kristen. It's a pleasure.
Yes, this is going to be a really fun one because this is a topic that is really on everyone's minds. Revenue cycle management is the lifeblood of community oncology practices. So I'll start off by asking you, or just by acknowledging, that oncology practices deal with some of the most complex and costly treatments that are out there. So can you just talk a little bit in your experience about why strong revenue cycle management, especially in oncology practices, is critical compared to other practices?
Well, let me just start off by saying I've worked with so many different specialties, and oncology is unique due to both the clinical complexity and the financial complexity, right? And cancer care, when you think about it, it involves multiple modalities of treatment. You have chemotherapy, you have immunotherapy, you have radiation, surgery, genetic testing, supportive therapies. Patients are also dealing with comorbidities, and you have ongoing monitoring. And all of this is happening in multiple settings, right? You have the office setting, you have the hospital setting, you have the infusion centers, and all of that's happening over an extended period of time. So you put all of that into one specialty, that does make for a pretty complex revenue cycle. The other thing about oncology that I think makes it unique is the medications and the biologics are extremely expensive, right? So just one authorization issue, just one coding problem, just one claim denial, it can create a significant financial risk, not only for the practice, but for the patient who's relying on that care. So when kind of coming back to your question, I know I kind of sidebar a little bit there, but strong revenue cycle management is not simply for oncology, at least, not just about getting claims paid. We need to remain financially sustainable so that we can continue providing life-saving care without any delays for our patients who are relying on us. So in oncology, we really want to focus on a patient care strategy that's integrated into revenue cycle management. So what does that look like? Verifying information. We need to verify eligibility. We need to verify benefits. We need to make sure that the information that we're putting in our systems is accurate, right? We want to make sure that we have our prior authorizations. We also want to make sure that our EMR practice management software allows us to add addendums. And this is something, add addendums to our claims. And this is something that I see many specialties, but oncology also having an issue. We want to be able to attach referrals or prior authorizations to our claims at the claim level. We also want to make sure we have those prior authorizations. We need to do financial counseling with our patients so that they understand their out-of-pocket expenses. We also need to capture all the services for that date, right? So we need to have a really strong charge capture process. And then we want to make sure that all of these processes work together seamlessly. And the goal there would be for the providers to be able to focus on treating their patients rather than the providers having to try to navigate all of these complex reimbursement guidelines that just continue to crop up.
This is a really great point, and I love that you brought up the fact that there are so many different types of treatments. It's no longer just chemotherapy, as you know. We've got immunotherapies, we've got emerging cell therapies, CAR T therapies, bispecifics, trispecifics. It's so complicated. And you also mentioned patient access, or just making sure that this is supporting the best possible patient care. So can we double click on that for a minute and have you talk a little bit about revenue cycle management and the direct impact on patient access to care, as well as outcomes and treatment?
Yeah. You know, when I think about, when I compare cancer care to any other specialty, cancer doesn't wait, and neither should the treatment. So every delay in care is the potential impact on that patient's overall outcomes, right? And their quality of life. So this is why an effective revenue cycle is so important. When I see oncology practices have really strong front-end processes like insurance verification, understanding patients' benefits, coordinating their benefits, that's another issue, right? Because when we don't coordinate patients' benefits, meaning we don't know who's primary, secondary, or tertiary, we can't bill the patient. So that could delay us getting paid, right? That prior authorization management, and then understanding the patient financial navigation, all of these components could be barriers before treatment even begins. So we have to have processes in place to address those barriers before they even crop up. This is really helpful for the patient to understand their financial responsibility. So having that financial policy in place, reviewing that with the patient, making sure that there are assistance programs that might be available to your patients who might have that need. Again, all of this needs to be in place to avoid interruptions in care. And then from the practice perspective, you know, we need to have a healthy cash flow, right? So we want to look at how we invest in things like our staff, our workflow, our workforce, right? Making sure that our workforce has all of the tools that they need to be successful, because they're an integral part of our revenue cycle. Investing in technology, investing in clinical resources, and then other patient support services. When we look at those types of investment, Kirsten, the other thing that we want to think about is how those investments directly enhance the patient's experience. When we see patient experience improve, we also see their access, their adherence to the treatment plans, that their providers have put in place, we see that adherence also improve. And at the end of the day, revenue cycle management, at least from my perspective, it's about avoiding non-payment. So we want to put in all the processes that we can think about to avoid those non-payments. So when we have our financial and our administrative obstacles minimized, then the patients and us, we can focus on what really matters most, which is the care, right? And patients' quality of life.
You're really speaking to kind of a navigation process, right? Removing those barriers to care. And I know financial navigation has kind of emerged as a fairly new discipline within oncology.
Yeah.
So just curious, what are you seeing as some of the most common denials or the common challenges around denials? And what are those proactive strategies that practices can put into place to avoid revenue loss?
All right. So unfortunately, prior authorization is at the top of that list. Downcoding is at the top of that list. So downcoding, you know, kind of thinking about the obstacle and the solution. So the prior authorization issues, what are some of the mitigation opportunities there? Understand the payer's reimbursement guidelines, right? Having a matrix in place so that we know which services, which medications, which pharmacologics require a prior authorization, prior approval, so that we start working on that ahead of time, right? In terms of the downcoding, we need to make sure that we're proving medical necessity for every encounter. And that also kind of ties into documentation gaps, which I do see as a certified coder. So we need to make sure that we're documenting medical necessity, medical decision-making, that we are using specified diagnosis codes, right? That we are creating progress note templates that allow our providers to document everything so that they can have a comprehensive note. We also need to understand those drug-specific billing requirements. So unfortunately, you know, payers, they have their own rules. Each payer has their own rules. So understanding the payer and drug-specific payment guidelines and entering that information into your systems so that your system can flag you when you're about to make a mistake, right? And then just kind of going back to those payer policies, unfortunately, payers do not always communicate these policies to us effectively. So we have to do the research. We have to go out and we have to dig and we have to uncover, but then we also have to share that information with the right stakeholders within our practices. And you know, the other thing here with this navigation is just kind of talking about all specialties, but specifically oncology, those payer requirements evolve regularly. So we need to look for specialty medications, biomarker testing, emerging therapies. We need to start investigating the payer reimbursement guidelines. And if the guidelines haven't been published, we need to go to our payer and say, hey, we're about to order this service, or we're about to order this medication. We need some guidance from you. But the other thing that we want to do is remain proactive. And I think that's kind of my mantra, is to have a proactive denial strategy. So we don't want to be reactive. When we get a denial, we follow up. We want to try to prevent them by doing that investigation up front.
So you are known for aligning technology with those optimal workflows. This is, like you said, your mantra. So talk to me a little bit about what oncology practices can use. How do they employ technology to improve their revenue cycle performance?
All right. So I am a big proponent of automating manual processes. However, what I'll put a caveat here. Please don't automate a broken manual workflow. Okay.
Great piece of advice. I love that.
So I'm going to give you a real life example, Kristen. So I'm working with an FQHC. This isn't oncology, but it speaks to a broken workflow. And the workflow that's broken isn't the practice's fault. So they're using a system called RetroCade that allows them to identify when patients who are self-pay and potentially eligible for Medicaid, when they are approved for Medicaid coverage. The problem is this coverage isn't published until like 30 to 45 days after the date of service. So the patient is listed as self-pay and patients, you know, might get a bill. So, you know, what we're trying to figure out is the system that they're using to verify this eligibility costs them 18% of what's collected. It's too expensive, right? So the practice has a lot of decisions to make. What we identified through some discovery is that the EMR and the practice management software is unable to verify Medicaid eligibility, which is why they were paying this extra fee to get this eligibility confirmed for them. So what we identified is, so it's really a clearinghouse issue. So going in, right, working with the clearinghouse so that the clearinghouse will now give them those eligibility benefits. The goal initially was the practice said, look, we want to automate, we want to outsource this eligibility process. And they paid 18% for it. Come to find out, it was really just a fix where we need to enroll that payer with their clearinghouse. And, you know, so I guess the point I'm making, when we're thinking about using AI, other technologies, automating workflows, let's first figure out what's broken internally. Would have saved them 18% of their total collections for that payer had that investigation occurred in advance. But it did occur, right? Now the workflow was automated because they're now able to do this through their EMR. So automating eligibility, there's also tons of technology out there that you can stack on to your EMR to help you identify which services are going to require prior authorization. It will read your patient's progress note and tie it to the requirements of that payer and say, hey, this progress note is 75% complete with the authorization requirements. These are the things that are missing so that you can go in and make those adjustments, right? Predictive analytics. This allows us, especially if you're participating in a value-based payment program, it allows your system to go in and track what will happen over a certain period of time to this patient's outcomes based on the current type of treatment that's underway for that patient. And it'll give you some data, not just you, but the providers as well. There's also tons of denial management tools that you can add on. So I call these rule engines. So you can create these rules in your system before a claim is submitted that will scrub your claims for you in detail, right? So this is above and beyond your typical clearinghouse edits, right? So let's say you have a payer and the member ID number must start with two letters before the seven digits. You can create a rule that says, if I have a patient with this payer and they do not have two letters before their seven digits, do not submit that claim. Put it in a bucket for our team to go back and take some corrective action. So I say all this to say AI and automated workflows can flag a ton of areas for us and help us work smarter, not harder. So I'm a huge advocate for integrating those types of initiatives into your clinical and to your financial workflows. So I could keep going. I'm going to shut up for a second because I know you have other questions.
Well, I do, but I have to say, this is all great advice. I mean, I really hope that our listeners take advantage of all of this advice because, I mean, you're not only saving them money, but you're expediting treatment. And that kind of circles back to my previous question about patient access, you know, so this is really very useful information. So thank you for all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I would like to shift gears a little bit and not focus on the oncology practice anymore, but on you and your career and your journey to where you are now. And I would love just to start by understanding what inspired you to focus on revenue cycle management. And have there been any pivotal moments along the way that kind of shaped your leadership journey?
Well, yes. I'll first say early in my career, I got the opportunity to work with some really incredible physicians and other healthcare providers. And throughout my career, I've seen the same story where they're really dedicated providers, but they're struggling with operational challenges that impact their ability to serve the patients and their communities. So I think I kind of had a realization that healthcare organizations, you know, they can only fulfill their missions when they have financial stability and when they have resources to support their workforce. I'm part of that workforce. So I think what happened for me is when I started seeing that as a common thread in all medical practices, I kind of became fascinated with the intersection of clinical excellence. And I'm not clinical, but I really revere individuals who have kind of taken the oath to take care of us and kind of dedicate themselves to clinical excellence. And then I also kind of am fascinated by operations and working efficiently. I am a huge proponent of working hard, smarter, not harder. So always trying to find the shortcuts that don't impact quality. And then finally, you know, financial sustainability. So pulling that all together, I kind of said, you know, over the years, I've had the opportunity to work with multiple specialties, with health systems, with private practices and consulting environments. And I think each one of those organizations has kind of reinforced the importance for me in how I view revenue cycle management as more of kind of a strategic function rather than just billing. So I hope that I've kind of answered that question a little bit, but I want you to also, you asked me about a lesson. And I think one of the lessons that I've learned is that being an effective leader is really about having people see you as a credible source and having your team feel inspired by your passion for what you do. So, you know, that's kind of been my experience. I started my career as a medical receptionist. I won't say how many years ago, but it's been over 20, 25 maybe, probably over 25 now. And just seeing how healthcare has evolved from, you know, the 1990s to where we are today and where we're going in the future. I'm really excited about being in this space in healthcare and being able to give back and contribute to my peeps.
Love it. That's a great story. So, you know, you have a lot of letters after your name, a lot of accolades, but one of them is the Certified Medical Office Manager, the CMOM. And that's kind of the one that stood out to me because obviously revenue cycle management, a lot of these have to deal with revenue. But do you want to talk about that certification and why it's valuable and especially around oncology, why that is valuable to you?
So the CMOM or Certified Medical Office Manager, it's a credential that it was my first credential. I got it about 21 years ago, and it's very much relevant today. And the credential, it really kind of represents a commitment to excellence in practice leadership and in operational management and financial management. So those who decide to become a certified medical office manager, what you're telling the industry is that you have gained knowledge and expertise in, as you said, revenue cycle management, in compliance and regulatory guidelines and employee relations and human resource management and financial oversight, which is different than revenue cycle management, right? patient experience, practice operations, and then in the past several years, we added expertise in value-based payment programs. So, you know, in today's healthcare environment and then looking at the future, particularly to your point in oncology, oncology leaders are expected to balance clinical priorities, which I think is probably a higher priority in oncology than in some other specialties. You have to understand regulatory requirements. You have to, you know, navigate workforce challenges, and then you have to do all of this while performing financially, right? So I would say to an oncology leader that the CMOM really provides a strong foundation for understanding how all of those responsibilities intersect and industry best practices for leading with competence and accountability. And I'm a huge proponent for accountability because we all have some skin in the game. Making sure that healthcare leaders are able to think strategically, that you're able to manage your teams and do so proactively, just kind of thinking ahead, being aware of the places that you go to get the best sources of information, and then helping your teams to continue to grow and advance so that they can continue to feel motivated to succeed.
It's a great description and really underscores how important that role is. You're the office manager. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So finally, Kim, I would love to hear from you. Just looking ahead, how do you see revenue cycle management evolving in oncology over the next 3 to 5 years, particularly when you think about reimbursement models, value-based cancer care models, that sort of thing?
Well, I do believe that data is going to be key. So I believe that we're entering a period where we're going to be, our revenue cycles are going to be data driven. And we're going to need to think strategically. So what do I mean by data driven? So the people who have the best data are going to have the best outcomes. So that data is going to be your patient demographic information, your approvals with your authorizations, you know, what percentage of your authorizations were approved versus those who weren't, your denials, your days in AR. So having that data is going to be really critical. I also think technology is going to be a huge driver for how successful oncology practices are and the way that you're leveraging technology with all of the areas that I've mentioned so far. And you're absolutely right, Kristen. Oncology is continuing to move towards value-based care models, right? So your success in value-based care is going to depend on so many different factors. One is demonstrating your quality outcomes. So I highly recommend that you look at your provider's problem lists for your patients. Look at those problem lists and remove any problems that are not actively being treated on that data service. Do not bring forward old problems, right? So demonstrating those quality outcomes. And you can check to see if your practice is eligible to participate in the Quality Payment Program or MIPS by going to qpp.cms.gov. So the other thing that's going to be important as we, you know, as we continue to evolve is care coordination. So being able to interface, right? So do you have access to your health information exchange in the state that you're in? So doing that care coordination with the other providers that your patients are seeing, your patient engagement. So really leveraging your patient portal and make sure that patients feel comfortable connecting with you online. Cost efficiency. When I'm negotiating contracts or payer reimbursement rates, the payers want to know, how cost effective are you? Are we spending, obviously we're going to spend more in oncology, but at what level? So being able to demonstrate your cost efficiency and then the use of technology. We've talked about this. However, in 2026, in the CMS final rule, CMS added a negative 2.5% efficiency adjustment to the practice RVU. What does that mean? Essentially, if you look at the 2026 CMS final rule, CMS has told us that they believe that all of this technology is out there and available to us, so it should make us more efficient. And if we're not using AI and other technologies to automate our processes, CMS says, oh, well, you're out of luck because it's available to you. So because that those technologies are available to you, we're going to decrease certain RVUs by negative 2.5%. This is real dollars, Kristen. This is actually happening in 2026. So just imagine what it's going to look like in the future, right? And then finally for oncology, genetic testing, advanced therapies, these are the things that we want to understand the reimbursement complexities and have, you know, stronger payer engagement strategies when we're dealing with these. And then I think, you know, just navigating your finances, understanding what it costs you to take care of each patient. And PMI has a formula for that. I use those formulas in the CMOM all the time, right? So your cost to care, your break-even analysis. So being able to understand that data and those finances are going to really help your organizations. But access to care initiatives are really going to be essential components of overall cancer care in the future.
This has been just a wealth of information. Thank you for your time and your expertise. And just for our listeners, as resources, if they wanted to get in touch with you or, you know, your company, Medical Revenue Cycle Specialists, or PMI, can you direct folks on how to find you and PMI?
Sure. So for PMI, it's PMIMD.com. And you can PMIMD.com.
We should clarify that the Practice Management Institute.
I'm so right? sorry.
Yes, that was on me. Right.
Yeah, thank you for that, for the Certified Medical Office Manager. And then you can always reach me at medrevenuecycle.com. And I am also on LinkedIn, very actively on LinkedIn, sharing nuggets of information on revenue cycle and related topics. So you can find me at Kem Tolliver, that's K-E-M Tolliver on LinkedIn as well. And I love staying in contact with OPM. It's a great resource. You'll find that I have a few articles on the OPM website as well. And hopefully you guys continue to stay connected with them.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. As the editorial lead for Oncology Practice Management or OPM, I appreciate that very much. And cannot thank you enough for your time and expertise today. So thank you for joining me today.
It's been a pleasure, Kristen. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
If this conversation resonated with you, be sure to subscribe and share it with a colleague, a family member, or a friend. Thank you for showing up, for listening with care, and for being a part of this community. This has been Cancer Clearly.